Hi, I'm Janet, compulsive overeater, replacing the original speaker who's not here today, but glad to see all of you. I have been in these doors over 20 years, and I have 19 years and I think 3-4 months abstinence. That clapping is not for me. That clapping is for whatever this program has helped me do. It's not for me. I came in probably 10 pounds heavier than I am now, but my mind was all over. Something happened in my life that I couldn't handle. It was way over my head. I was not allowed to get any sort of help. So I nosedived into the only thing that I knew, which was the box of chocolate, the sweets, the cakes, the food, you name it. Anything that I could find in my kitchen and at my house, that would do. It didn't matter if it was sweet, if it was sour, if it was crunchy, if it was whatever. But sweets usually would win. And chocolate was top of the list. So I would start the day with a proper breakfast, but I wouldn't stop there. My nerves were so uncomfortable and unhappy that I had to call myself with something. And that something was what I would put under my, beside my teeth to calm me down. So it could be a bag of carrot, it could be a bowl of pistachio, it could be chocolate, you name it, anything would do. And it would continue until 11 o'clock at night that I would go to bed. I had one meal the whole day. It would start at 8 o'clock in the morning and it would go until 11 o'clock at night until I would go to bed. Until a friend of mine, was my Eskimo, stopped me after 3 weeks and said, "What's going on?" And she was the one who brought me into Overeaters Anonymous. I gained 10 pounds in 1 month, which is a lot for my body. But that's the only thing I could do at that point. Just eating. I came to this program considering that I didn't think I had extra weight. I was not a compulsive overeater. What were you talking about? I just had a little extra weight that with this diet, I would lose it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a diet. So the first time that my friend took me actually to HOW program, and when we came out, I said, no. This is not for me. Forget it, because it's harder than OA. And she said, "We are doing it together." And I said, "No, I'm not." And she said, "Yes, we are." So kicking my feet and trying to hold on with my hand somehow, I started and I lost 11 pounds in 1 month. But I was as angry as you could be, as you could imagine, to the point that I started fighting with her badly. And then I apologized right away. I said, "I'm so sorry, you know me. This is not me. This is the damn whatever I'm doing here in this program." And she said, "Why don't you switch to OA? It's a little bit softer. You can do it." We had started the 30-30 at that time together. And along the way, whenever we couldn't go to HOW meeting, we would go to OA meeting. And in one of the meetings, I met a speaker. Actually, it was Kitchen Sink. That she spoke my language. The whole time, my friend was elbowing me. "That's you, that's you, you do this, that's you, oh my God, this is you." Because she knows the whole story of my life. So when the meeting was done, I went to her and I got her phone number. just thought maybe I outreach her sometime. So after a month when I decided to switch to OA, I called her 3 times in one day and left 3 messages for her. By sunset, she called me. I said, can you please take me as your sponsee? And she said, sorry, I have a baby and I'm full. I begged her. I said, listen, I know myself. If I go one day without a sponsor, I'm gone. And I know myself again. I'm not going to come back ever. So she kindly said, all right, 1 month trial. I don't promise anything. And I said, okay, good enough. So I started with her, and God bless her, she still has not dropped me. And I tell you, this is her, it's not me, honestly. She's really kind and gentle, and no matter how much I have kicked and how much I have resisted, she still has turned it in a way that I have become willing to continue my program. So when I started, I used to come to the meetings. I was supposed to go to one meeting that my sponsor was there. And I used to go to 2 meetings in the cottage. So it was Tuesday, Thursday, and 1 to 2 o'clock, 17 in Arizona. The first time that I went there, my sponsor wasn't there. It was a rainy day. The moment meeting ended, I get out of the meeting, and at the steps, I called her. I said, the room stinks. It was raining, and there was drip drop of water on the old smelly carpet. So she laughed and she said, get the message. I said, all right, okay. So I started coming. I honestly felt I'm hearing gibberish. English is my second language. So some of these things really didn't make any sense to me. And I really did not understand the meaning of a 12-step program. I never had heard, not OA, even Alcoholic Anonymous, until I was 45 years old when I entered this program. I was clueless, no idea. So in spite of the other people who entered the door and they get it like that, I was not one. I kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked as much as I could. But I still wanted something. The old timers who were in this program had a calmness in their face and a shine in their eyes and a calmness in their behavior. I wanted it. And I decided, you know, I'm going to stay and see how it goes. Maybe I get it also. I didn't know what it was. So the first big book reading that I went, huge meeting. I really felt people were speaking gibberish. I just counted to see how many people were in the room, which paragraph would be mine. I just read it prior to make sure that I'm okay reading that paragraph. That's it. But I kept coming. I kept coming and I started doing whatever my sponsor asked me. She asked me to outreach 3 people a day. So I purposely picked people that I knew were at work and were not available to answer me. So I would say, hi, this is Janet, outreaching you, hope that you're fine. Have a good day, happy and abstinent. In less than 1 minute, I was done with 3 phone calls. But that brought me to the point of getting used to calling people. And now the people in this program are closest to me, closest than my family even. Because you guys understand me. I don't know how on earth can my daughter pick a chocolate chip cookie, eat half of it, and put the other half in a plate and go. And if nobody touches it, it stays there for 3 days. She never comes back to finish it. I have to finish the whole plate, the whole box, the whole container, the whole whatever it is, and then go after more. That's where my brain takes me. I don't understand. My brain does not understand one, does not understand two, does not understand any stop. It just goes. I am like a car with a broken gas pedal and a broken stop pedal. The moment I touch this gas, it automatically goes to cruise control and there is no stop. I start a piece of whatever, especially sweets and candy, chocolate, candy, whatever, chocolate I haven't had, that it goes. Just give me the box and leave me alone. You can do whatever you want to do. I don't care anymore. That's me. I don't stop. So, over here, I'm learning to pause. There have been days that I have come to the meeting and I probably got nothing out of any meeting. I don't know. My brain was somewhere else. I was daydreaming. I was half asleep, whatever. But I still kept coming back because I know there is something here that I want. And I know another thing also. Whatever I get today only works for today. Whatever I'm doing today only is working for today. I got up at 6 o'clock today. So whoever who got up earlier than me has got more abstinence than I have. And it's okay. I learned in these rooms, again, kicking as much as I have been able to do it one day at a time. And then it became 1 hour at a time. And then when it became tough, it became 1 minute at a time. Life is tough. Then it became 1 second at a time. Because I know that all of us have got a lot of ups and downs in our life. It's not just the food. Food is the side effect for us. Whatever we do with it, however we play with it, is just the side effect. Whenever I tell my sponsor, oh God, I ate too much last night, she never asks me, what did you eat last night? She always says, what's eating you? Because something has happened in my life that I have not taken care of or have not been able to attend to it properly, that has brought me to my numbing device, which is the plate in front of me. And my plate used to be a tray. This was my plate. This was my plate. I was supposed to eat one plate, so this was how my plate was. I still am a compulsive overeater. I still make love to my food. Trying to look that this is the fuel that my body needs. Trying to see what is this doing to my body. Do I need what I'm having? Or is it just for the pleasure of my eyes? And the pleasure a minute in my mouth. So I started doing the program. I started coming to the meetings. I started doing whatever my sponsor asked me. And along the way, I don't even know how many times I have done the whole 12 step because I'm continuing. And along the way that I'm doing it, let's say hypothetically, right now I'm on step 9. Thank you. I would talk to my sponsor and I would say something and she'd say, all right, lady, back to step 3. Or, okay, time for step 4. So I'm back to that step again. So I'm not graduating. I'm not planning to. And nobody puts the gun to my head to come to this meeting. Believe me, I had plenty of things to do Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. But it's my choice. to come here. Because I get something from all of you, from this meeting, that helps me to become a better human being. I am not a perfect person when it comes to this program, although I'm a perfectionist. I'm a perfectionist to the core. But when it comes to the program, forget it. I procrastinate it as much as I can. Step four, every time, the first time that I was doing it, every time that I put paper and plate in front of me, tears started coming down my face. So I put it aside. So after about maybe 8 months, my sponsor said, if you do not read your fourth step by this date, I'm not going to sponsor you anymore. And I was so scared of losing her that I sat down, and when I was sobbing, I wrote down my fourth step. It was about 10 pages. When I read it to her, it felt that a tank passed me. I cried so much that she said, don't do anything for 2 days. Take it a little bit easy on yourself. I said, okay. But afterward, I felt lighter, as if my weight had become lighter. And I realized what I had been carrying on my shoulder for a lifetime that I had not shared with anybody, I had shared it with her. It was house cleaning. So I felt lighter and better. So with the help of this program, I dared at age 50 to go back to school for a completely different field that I had studied, which was my dream. I got my degree and I started working. And as a result, now I am of service to the other addicts, to other people, which I am so happy. It is so fulfilling for me. But boy, studying was hell of a job for me. English as a second language. I have learning disability. I have ADD. So looking at the thick book that I had to read would send me one step back. And then I would say, all right, I need to read a chapter. One chapter at a time, one page at a time, one paragraph at a time, one line at a time, one word at a time. And that is how I had 6 dictionaries around me and I studied for a field that one word would change the whole subject. So I couldn't skip anything. I really had to understand what I was reading. It was a hell of a job, but I enjoyed it. And then getting the license, oh my, God knows how much I cried over that. God knows how many times I failed in that exam. But after 1 week again, I would pull out the books and I would start again. One chapter at a time, one page at a time, one line at a time, one word at a time. And I passed it. I have learned it here. To be patient, to pause, to think twice about what I'm going to say to whoever that person is, because boy, am I going to answer you, because I want to be in control. I am a controller to the core, and I can run not only my life, all of your lives. I used to tell the strangers on the street how to take care of their kids. I used to do everything for everybody. Speaking of people pleaser, oh boy. And I know better. Believe me, I know better. I know how to dress you. I know how to make up you. I know how to find you a job. I know how to help you get married. I know how to help you run your business. I know how to help you cook. I know how to help you buy flowers and decorate them. You name it. I know better. So let me help you. And you would love me. Boy, it is hard to put that boundary. It is so difficult. But it's a constant practice for me. So I came in at age 45, and I always tell people, you are lucky if you come to this program when you're young, because you have got your life in front of you, and you've got a chance to be good mothers or good fathers for your future children or the children that you have. I already had done the damage when I came, but it is what it is. I have given my amends and walking my path. I'm like a turtle. I walk very slow in this path also. And I definitely do not do a perfect program for sure. For sure, for sure. But this is as much as I can. I don't even can compare myself to some other people, how nicely they are doing everything in this program. I can't. This is me. This is me. I'm here because I want to, because it helps me to be a better human being for myself, to respect myself more. Between me and my feelings, there was the wall of China. I never cared about my feelings. Oh boy, that was way back there. I had too many things to do. I'm a doer. I learned how to feel and think about myself and try to take better care of myself. And as a result, I can be a better human being around other people. If I'm helping anyone, it's real genuine help now. I'm not trying to please that person. I want to. And I don't expect anything in return. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I want to help whoever person today. So, please keep coming back. Whoever you are, whatever you are, if you are not feeling that you are not in the right place, still keep coming back. Oh, and this also. I remember that Tuesday, Thursday meeting, I used to go for months and months. That was a lunch meeting, so I would bring my lunch with me, always looking at other people's lunch to see if my lunch is bigger or theirs is bigger. And boy, I should add to my food for sure. I would eat my food and I would fall asleep. And I couldn't realize why I was falling asleep. And then months passed. And I said, no way. I have to be awake and listen to what people are telling. So I started being awake. But boy, I was sobbing. Whoever was sharing, I was sobbing. For months. And then I realized, whatever I'm hearing is too much for my brain. So my brain automatically shuts off at some point. But I reached the point that I started to share. But my head was down for a good 2 years, two and a half years. I would share at every meeting because my sponsor had asked me, but my head was down. I wouldn't dare even to look at other people's eyes when I was talking. I was too ashamed. But walking along, getting better. Please keep coming back. Thank you. There is no break at this meeting. We will now pass the basket for our seventh tradition. The donation of $3 is suggested, but any amount would be greatly appreciated. May I have a volunteer to read the 12 traditions? Please keep quiet while we are reading our traditions. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daphne, compulsive overeater.
Daphne.
The 12 traditions. Please read the traditions. Okay. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place
principles before personalities. Thank you. Okay, this is time for the questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. Please remember, if you ask a question, your voice may be audible on the OA podcast. Okay? Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you for your service and stepping up. So at what point did you stop kicking and surrender? And was there a certain something that happened?
At one point did I stop kicking and I started surrendering? Well, I never stopped kicking. I still am kicking even today. I'm supposed to start step 9 and I still have delayed it as much as I can until I get a chance to do it. Surrender, probably I could say around step 4 and 5, because I felt so much lighter and I realized, you know what, this is not something that I would have done. This is not something in my power. Here and there, I go up and down. Sometimes, some days, forget it. God is out. I'm in charge. I'm in control. Some days, my mind is right where it needs to be, and I really do surrender. So it's up and down for me. It never has been that I gave it to the God and I said, God, it's all yours. Go ahead, take care of me. No, but I know for sure whatever that's happening is not in power, in my power. I know that. So it is the power greater than myself. And for sure, I cannot stop even one wave that's in the ocean, let alone making everything in the right place. So thank you. No questions? Shall we go home? Yes.
Almost.
So since you brought up your daughter, Mike, who eats half a cookie and leaves it there, how did your family, your entire family, deal with you now following, you know, a plan of eating while they were just, you know, quite eating as they pleased? Or did you implement that into the family?
They eat whatever they want to eat. My route has become a lot narrower. My body cannot take what it used to take. I have been, beside an emotional eater, I have eaten frozen food, molded food, other people's food, food from the trash, you name it, I've done it. So along the way, a lot of things does not sit with my body anymore. I cannot have it anymore. So most of my meals, I end up having a different meal than the others. Or if there are more than one meal at the table, one of them for sure is something that I can eat. And unfortunately, I'm becoming now reaching the point that a lot of places that I go, I have to eat and go at my own home earlier. I'm invited tonight, I have to eat and go. I'm invited tomorrow night, big possibility that I may eat and go again. Even to the restaurants, I eat at home and I go. And I'm called the party pooper, which is fine. I have no choice but taking better care of my body, because it bothers me. When I eat XYZ, I pay for it, and it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Others can eat whatever they want. It's their choice, not mine. Thank you. Yes?
How do you bounce back from, like, say you eat something that is not, like, you know, healthy, or, like, something that is bad for you, and you feel really badly about yourself? Like, how do you bounce back from that? Like, and it's just, like, let's say it's, like, noon, right? So the rest of the day, like, how do you bounce back so you can carry on and go about the rest of the day?
Okay. How do I bounce back from whatever that I have eaten, which is not proper for my body, in other words? Whatever I eat, I own. Meaning, there is no throwing up. I try not to throw it out totally, meaning I say, all right, I tell myself, I ate this. This was my choice at the time. I'm a human being and I make wrong choices. I can do better choices from now on. So I try to have better and proper choices afterward.
Does it ever make you want to eat? Like, what if that doesn't work? You want
to eat more bad
food. What do you do in those? Do you ever feel like, okay, like I screwed up and I
want to
eat more?
I got you. Sometimes I have a little more of that, and sometimes I let go. I'm not perfect. But again, my body pays for the mistakes that I make on my choices by acid reflux and a lot of other things that bothers me. So I know it's my choice. Yes, I can have the right choice and I can have the wrong choice. If I have the wrong choice, my body pays for it and I pay for it. And that brings me usually back. Yes.
Thank you so much, really. What are some of your tactics you may use when, let's just say, somebody isn't doing it your way?
Thank you. What tactics do I use when people do not do my way? It used to be my way or highway for sure. Nothing else existed. But now I see myself equal to the other people. I am equal to everybody, not in this room, but out of here also. Man, woman, young, old, whoever, doesn't matter. So I have a choice and others have a choice as well. I draw my boundary. I have to let go. I can't say what I feel or think, but that person's choice is that person's choice. Can do or cannot do. And I accept it. I have no choice but accepting it. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you for your sharing. Do you have character defects that, you know, they're big and small ones, but how do you deal with like the small ones that you kind of want to change, but that you still are ingrained in doing?
Well, I'm a human being with very big character defects. I'm a perfectionist. I am a controller. I am a host of you name it. I'm people pleaser and so on. So it's a constant practice. I have to remind myself. Setting that boundary with other people reminds me that up to here is mine and from here on is yours. I can say whatever I think is the right way, but your choice is your choice. I truly believe, hypothetically, that you're making a mistake. But I know that I, for myself, I told you the right way what it is. Okay? If you do not choose it, later I am okay with myself because I have reminded you that you are making a mistake. Choice is yours.
I was looking at like smaller character defects, some that, you know, that sometimes can derail you a little bit, or you know, that if you don't pay attention to them, they can.
Of course, all small character defects as well derail me all the time. I'm a human being. Self-talk. A lot of self-talk, it brings me back to where I need to be because I quickly catch myself. This is the good part about being in this program for me, that it used to go a long way the wrong way. Now, the moment I start going the wrong way, I catch myself. So I say, all right, thank you, back to where I need to be. That's how I do it. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Jennifer, for your share very much. I learned a lot more about you today. So that's great. Can you talk about your meal planning, prepping, and how that has evolved over your time? And I feel like I'm always in the kitchen, always cooking something, always prepping something.
Yes. I have cooked 24/7 I have a huge in-law family, and I have had in-house guests months and months and months and months in a row. So I have cooked 24/7, cannot tell you the extent of it. Honestly, now I am tired of cooking. I'm 65. I'm tired of cooking. And thank God I do have help. But how it comes is for myself, I have basically protein and vegetable in all my meals and good fat. So something, let's say hypothetically, like salmon will be made in a piece, bigger piece, and I will take a portion out of it 2-3 days and I will eat. So I have salmon for 2-3 days. Salad is not that difficult or vegetable to prepare for me. That's how it goes for me. The rest of the family, then it goes on the schedule that what has to be made for them. I do the shopping and cooking as well. Yes.
Thanks for stepping up. Thanks so much for your share. Can you talk about what the ninth step was like for you?
Ninth step. The first time that I did it, I kicked and kicked and kicked until I became willing to write my eighth step and became willing to tell others what I had done. And along the way, believe me, I have done a lot of damage. So I was at top of my own list, realizing how much I have damaged myself, how much I have criticized myself, how much I have put down myself, how much I have not cared myself, how much I knew what I'm having is giving me a higher weight, giving me blood pressure, giving me diabetes, giving me heart attack, and so on. Yet I did not care about myself, and I finished the whole container. So I was at top of my list to give amends to myself. I gave amends to my mother, who's dead. I wrote it and I went to her grave. That was a very difficult one for me. I gave amends to my husband and my kids, not once, plenty of times. That's an ongoing. One of the amends that I gave was that I used to go for a walk, and once that I was walking, I noticed a house that they were tearing down completely. So I went and literally I asked the guy on the bulldozer, I said, would you kindly give me the rose bushes? So he pulled 3 rose bushes out of the rubble and gave them to me. I brought them home proudly and happily, and I put them in my garden. And that brought me my attention to the flowers. So I started, when I was going for a walk, to cut other people's flowers. They were not taking care of their roses in the front yard, so I had to take care of them in my own ways. So I had reached the point that I would go with a basket and a pair of scissors. When it came to the amends, my sponsor told me to buy some flowers and take it to an old age home. I took the liberty. Cut flower takes a lot of time cleaning, and nobody wants to do that. So I took the liberty. I bought orchids plants, a huge, huge, huge container, big, like full of orchids. And I took it to an old age home, and I put it up there. Gorgeous ones. They looked and said, wow, who's this for? And I said, this is for you people who take care of all of these old people. And they looked at me and I said, bye. And I walked out. And I'm sure they thought I was crazy. But I gave my amends that way. And now when I walk, I smell the flowers. Same flowers, same bushes that I used to cut from. They are not mine. I smell them, I enjoy looking at them, and I walk away. Right here in front, I touched the rosemary and I smelled it. My hand still smells a little bit, and I enjoyed it. I don't cut it, it's not mine. That's all. Thank you.
How much short?